Hear now the word of God. When a great crowd gathered and people from town to town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive, and listening they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe it and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe only for a little while. In a time of testing, fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, it is so great to be with you today. It is my husband Brandon and I's. It's our honor to be part of the Christ United Methodist Church family. So thank you for the warm welcome this morning. We are excited for the journey ahead and to see what the future will unfold as together we partner with God for a great season of ministry here at Christ UMC. And as we journey together this morning, we come upon the parable of the sower. And in the Gospels, parables are stories that Jesus uses to teach us about something larger than what he's actually saying. Some even refer to parables as windows. When we study them a little bit closer, they open our eyes to see the world a bit more clearly and in greater detail than we would have seen without them. And this happens throughout the gospel lessons. Jesus consistently goes and teaches throughout the gospels in these parables, in these stories, where he uses these very relatable examples for the people to learn a little bit more about who he is, the God in the flesh who is with us. He has a number of these different parables, a few of them you might have known before, that open our eyes to see God's work in our world a little bit bigger. Take, for example, the lost parables. Jesus teaches two different parables about things that are lost. One is a parable about lost sheep, where Jesus tells the story of a shepherd who has 100 sheep, but he realizes that one has gone astray. And the shepherd does this wild thing. He leaves those 99 sheep behind to go and to find that one that's missing. And then there's the parable of the lost coin. A woman loses a coin of such little value, but to her it's priceless. And so she turns her house upside down, inside and out, looking for this coin until she finds it yet again. In each of these parables, Jesus doesn't exactly spell everything out for us. He has us look through a window so that we might see who God is and how God loves. He teaches us that God's love for us is so great that no matter what happens, no matter when we've gone astray, God will seek us and find us. And as followers of this God, we know too that we must go near and far, searching for one another as we care for each other on this journey in the body of Christ. But what about today's parable? What window is Jesus opening up for all of us this morning? What is it that God is teaching us through this parable of the sower? Our scripture lesson begins with the sower tending to a farm, scattering seeds line by line and row by row. And like most good farmers, he is hoping that all of these seeds will fall on bountiful soil and will produce much fruit. Unfortunately, we learn that that's not exactly what happens here. Jesus teaches the different kinds of soil that the seed falls upon. He says, some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than what was sown. But unlike most of his other parables, Jesus doesn't stop here. In fact, he does something a little bit uncharacteristic. He seems to spell it all out for us. In opening this window for us to learn more about God, Jesus tells us exactly what this means. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, but then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a little while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a bountiful crop. Well, that clears everything up, I suppose. We know what we should do now, right? We need to do all that we can not to stand on the rocky ground, or the thorns, or the path. We need to be that good soil, right? Ones with a good and noble heart, who hear God's word and produce much fruit. Here's the thing, though. Jesus is almost too clear about this. And since so many of his parables often leave his followers asking more questions, diving in further, seeing how that relates to their life and the world around them, it almost seems a bit suspicious to me that the parable of the sower is so obvious. And so today I wonder, what if there's more to this story? Could this window that Jesus is opening enable us to see it in a different way? Now, I grew up on a farm just outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and my dad would tell you that my sisters and I were absolutely no help on the farm whatsoever. So perhaps I'm not the best person to talk about the parable of the sower. What my dad might say. But I think my grandmother would tell a different story. I spent my summers with my grandmother as both of my parents worked full-time in addition to tending to the farm. And she lived just down the road from us on our family farm. And year after year, she and I planted vegetables together in her garden. We had tomatoes and zucchini and all kinds of different peppers and green beans. And year after year, she and I would go out and planting these seeds every summer on our farm. And looking back, I can't tell you how many tomatoes we harvested or how large our zucchinis ended up being. But I can tell you with certainty that she was the first of many sowers who scattered seeds of good fruit in my life. My grandmother, she scattered seeds of determination for me. She told me the stories about how our small town survived the Great Depression. She taught me to always share the crops that you harvest, for we're called to care for one another. And then there were my parents who scattered seeds of forgiveness time and time again for me, teaching me that mistakes happen and it's okay and we have to keep on going. And then there was Mr. Reynolds, my ninth grade honors English teacher, and he was my public speaking teacher in my high school. He offered me seeds of hope. He taught me to work hard and to dream big. And he told me that even a voice as high-pitched as mine could make a tangible difference in this world. And then there were my pastors, all through the years, who offered me seeds of grace, literally feeding and nourishing me with the bread and the cup every week, reminding me over and over again that God is with us, that Christ invites us to share in a meal together, one that strengthens us on this journey that we share. And so when I look at this text today, and when I see this window that Jesus is opening for us, I wonder, is this parable not just about us being good soil, but could it also be about us sowing good seeds in the world too? Could it be that we, too, are called to follow in the footsteps of Christ, who sowed these seeds for the crowds, who sowed seeds of faith for them, so that these stories would get passed down from generation to generation, strengthening God's people all the way to reach us today? You see, I believe that in our world today, we need good fruit now more than ever before. For the first time in our country's history, one of the largest religious groups is the nuns. I'm not talking about the one Whoopi Goldberg impersonated in Sister Act, though I did love that movie and the sequel, for those who were around in the 90s, perhaps you did too. But nuns, N-O-N-E-S. One of the largest groups in our nation is people who identify with no religion at all. They make up 25% of the U.S. population. And a third of all people who fall in my demographic group, my generation, the millennials. That is a quarter of the U.S. population and a third of all people 35 and under. Pair this with the fact that our church right here is in the second fastest growing zip code in Knox County. Friends, I believe that right here in our midst is good soil to scatter seeds upon. Because there are people in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our friendships, in our relationships who are desperate to hear this good news. People who are yearning for hope in the midst of despair. People who are yearning for courage in the midst of fear. People who are yearning for light in the midst of whatever darkness they may be facing. People who are yearning for life in the midst of the violence and death that surrounds us each and every day. And I believe that if we follow in the way of Christ, who is the greatest sower of all, then we too can make disciples who will indeed change the world for the better. If there's anything that I've learned over the years and all of the different churches I've been a part of, all the different denominations I've been a part of, all of the different families who have strengthened me to carry on with this journey, it's that our God is one of abundance. I believe that God loves us more than we could ever understand, that God offers us more grace than we could ever deserve. Like that woman who was desperately searching for her priceless coin, Or the shepherd who foolishly left behind the 99 sheep in his flock to find that one who's gone astray. It is that God cherishes each and every one of us more than we could possibly imagine. And so today, when we see Jesus so clearly explain this parable of the sower, let's not just leave it there. Let's open this window a little bit further. Let's not just identify what type of soil that we fall into, but let's stretch ourselves a little bit more. Together, let us wonder, where can we cast seeds that will help others grow? Where is the fertile soil in this church? Where is the fertile soil in this community? Where is the fertile soil in our families and our friendships and our workplaces and our schools and our relationships? Where is that fertile soil in your life? And where is the fertile soil in our world? See, as United Methodists, I believe that sowing seeds, it's part of our DNA. We are people of personal holiness and social holiness. So you see, our faith, it never stays within the walls of our sanctuaries. Our faith is something that we live out in the world. We are called to offer hope to our neighbors near and far. And that's why we as United Methodists, it's why we raise money to provide nets to communities stricken by malaria throughout Africa. It's why our tithes help support undergraduate and seminary students all across this country. It's why we support children's homes in each of our annual conferences. It's why we pack bags for hungry children right here in halls. Because as United Methodists, our faith is, it's not just something that happens for an hour on Sunday mornings, right? It impacts all that we do each and every day. Friends, there is good soil all around us. So let us not live in fear, but let us, as God's people in this body of Christ, let us walk in faith, proclaiming good news and scattering seeds in all that we do. Whether it's a seed as small as simply being a shoulder to cry on when a friend is in despair, or it's a seed as large as traveling halfway around the world to rebuild an orphanage after an earthquake. No matter what seed you may be called to scatter, scatter it. Walk in faith. Scatter those good seeds to help produce good fruit in every path that you find yourself on. Because then, our faith will not be just a set of words or hollow sayings, but it will be life-giving and life-changing, bringing God's kingdom to earth each and every day. I am so excited to be part of this family. I am so grateful for this journey that we share. And I am so eager to go out and to scatter seeds and to make a difference right here in our community and all across this world. Because when we do, we as God's people will produce a bountiful fruit that will multiply 100-fold so that all people will know that hope in the midst of despair, that courage in the midst of fear, that light in whatever darkness they may face, and the life that comes to us each and every day. I look forward to scattering seeds of hope with you as together we proclaim the love of God today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen.